It's time to get empowered and realize your true beauty with tips, breakthroughs, and secrets of the industry. And now, here's your host, your personal beauty guru, David Pollack.
As many of you know, I work behind the scenes in the lab, doing all kinds of research and development and just creating new products and being a mad scientist and just having a lot of fun. But I got to admit, I'm in awe over those that can take this science and create the magic that we see in TV, movies, and even incorporate into some of our everyday lives. So I'm excited today because our guest is Corey Stoddard. Now, Corey is the managing editor for Makeup Artist Magazine, and she has more than 20 years of journalism, TV, and film experience. She loves talking about entertainment news, so she's the perfect one to have on to talk about some of these things. So, Corey, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know, let's talk a little bit because, you know, you and I had talked a little bit earlier about recently the Emmys and some of the new trends, like with, you see makeup going to a whole new level. You've seen it like with Saturday Night Live, you were mentioning, and some of the others. Why do you think all of a sudden it's getting just going to a new level? Do you see a change in it, or is that just a layman's opinion?
I think people, as within the industry, are having to reevaluate how they do things and kind of keep moving with technology. And so makeup artists are having to incorporate more of like the computer aspects of their job. And the thing that I found kind of refreshing is that a lot of filmmakers are saying, actually, I want to keep it as real as possible and go back to what we call like the real prosthetics and the real makeup instead of completely computer animated. So I've seen the artists having to kind of do both sides of it. Like they might start designing in the computer, but then at the end of the day, they'll still be making the actual makeup that they might apply to an artist.
And you had mentioned earlier to me something about like Saturday Night Live, one of the big transitions they did.
Yeah, the cool thing about Saturday Night Live is that, you know, you think about how long a commercial break is. At the most, it could be 2 minutes. And so they're having to transform their actors within the two-minute time frame. So it's amazing what they can do in that time. And as we saw this year, one of the more popular ones was Melissa McCarthy as Sean Spicer. And they've got a time-lapse video out on their website that shows how fast they transform her into Sean Spicer. And it's just really impressive to see how fine-tuned the makeup operation is.
That's cool. It's almost like the NASCAR pit crew. They can do things in a car in minutes that if I went to my mechanic, I'll be there all day.
Right, yeah.
So I guess I should get that video and show it to my wife because I don't think she could get ready in 2 minutes. I hope she doesn't hear that.
Well, but, at least, okay. You know. You don't have a commercial break to get ready for, I suppose.
I should tell her it's a commercial break. Maybe we'll get out the door to dinner quicker.
But
that's amazing. And I guess that's why they're technically the word artists come from, because they're working their magic in minutes. And why do you think that's possible? Is it, you think, more of an education thing, an experience thing? Is it some of the new makeup breakthroughs? Or why do you think we're seeing some of that transition and they're able to do more than I think we did a few years ago?
Okay. Well, what I've noticed is that the makeup artistry community is, for the most part, is very collaborative. So if one artist discovers a new technique or makes a new product, they'll say, hey, check this out, it's so cool, and maybe you can use it on your movie or your film. And then they keep spreading the word and sharing the knowledge. So I think that that's what continues to keep it growing and changing, is that they're all sharing the knowledge with each other.
That's cool. You don't see that in many industries.
Yeah, definitely. And, I think because everyone just, they love what they do. We've seen from the beauty side, like artists working on runway makeup and editorial, and then all the way through like the TV or movies where it's more what we call the character makeup, monsters and things. I've seen the collaboration all throughout.
I think one of the ones that always amazed me since I was a kid, and this will date me, but the original Planet of the Apes, if you remember, it used to take them, I forget how many hours, to put somebody into makeup to make them look like one of the apes.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Rick Baker, they did a remake of those quite a few years ago with Tim Burton.
Yes, and then, yes.
And then now it's mostly computer-generated apes. But the interesting thing is that a lot of times makeup artists do work on those motion capture techniques because they have to have a makeup artist that applies like the green dot that the computer will pick up. So even in that aspect where it's like, oh, it's all computer, it's all motion capture, there are still makeup artists working to put those dots on the actors.
You laugh. I'm a fan of Game of Thrones, and I just saw after the season wrapped up, they had some videos that came out about the making of it, and it was amazing to see. You're right, the green on the face of some of the actors or monsters that the computer could then generate, and I guess I was a little slow. I didn't connect the dots of, you know, I knew that what was happening, but you're right. That's how they did some of the amazing feats of doing that. So a makeup artist not only has to do the makeup, but also realize where the computer's going to play in.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I was talking about, where they have to kind of rethink their craft because, you know, even some makeup artists are starting businesses where they incorporate, like, the computer animation, but it also lets them keep doing the prosthetic straight makeup, as you will.
On the flip side, though, you mentioned that some makeup artists, some TV, some, you know, even runway models or movies are going the opposite direction at the same time and using less or going more traditional.
Well, what I mean by, I think what I meant by that is that filmmakers, they're kind of hearkening back to like the old school way of, you know, I don't want all the characters in this film to look fake or computer generated. We want to make sure we bring in the top makeup artists to do the work. So if you look at a new show like The Orville, you know, one of those TV shows where it has lots of alien characters, they've brought in an Oscar-winning makeup team of Howard Berger and Tammy Lane and a whole fleet of artists to work on that. So when we see names like that on a show, we're like, oh, that's a big deal that they didn't, you know, cut the budget and makeup. They brought in these Oscar winners.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now, what do you see on the runway with models and all? Are they wearing more makeup, less makeup? Are they staying more structured or trying to get more, messy or more regular, everyday person look?
Yeah, what the trends we saw for fall, you know, the runway trends always kind of come and go. And what we saw for the fall makeup look was minimal foundation and concealer, but then they still splash in the bit of color on the eyes. It's like, go ahead.
Yeah, that's amazing, you know, to see, because I've done some work even in hair care and developing products where some of the stylists today are telling me that people want more of the messy look where it looks almost, I hate to use the word slept in, but, you know, I'm old school where everything has to be in its right place or I don't feel right, but okay. Today's styles are more to be messy, and it's just it sounds like on the runway you're seeing kind of a blend there of less foundation, like you're saying, and then they're popping the eyes, you know, with some more look there. What are some of the big colors you see for the fall?
I've definitely been seeing burgundy or plum as a fall color, which it seems like that kind of comes back perennially.
And okay, so on your website, you have a lot of information in the magazine. And so, is there a big tip you could give our listeners that would help them with their makeup or a suggestion of something they should get?
Boy, that's a tough one.
Sorry to put you on the spot with it. Go ahead.
That's okay. If they're, you know, if you're looking for inspiration for like a Halloween look, our website is a good place to start because you can find beauty and like the more scary monster ideas on there, and in between, which is like creative.
That's perfect. I have a niece that loves doing the monster looks at Halloween, so I'm going to definitely have her go by and check it out. I wouldn't be surprised if she ends up being a makeup artist. Corey, okay. I want to thank you for joining us. You've shared a lot of interesting items that, you know, in the lab I don't get to experience, and so I appreciate it. And I invite our listeners, visit makeupmag.com. I'm David Pollack, your personal beauty guru. If you have a question about beauty, don't forget, just ask David. Thank you for joining us.
The preceding show was produced by the Gab Radio Network. For more information about the services we provide, visit GabRadioNetwork.com.